Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Friday night.
Yep.
And it's Tom is back.
Yeah, I'm back.
He's back, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, we're going to the club tonight. We're just going to do a couple, we're going to do like 2 hours with y'all. Brought some video and everything to share and everything from the trip, from the expedition.
The expedition.
Yeah. Went back to Mississippi.
Yeah.
Went to Laurel, Mississippi.
That's how it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone's giving their condolences.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it was no surprise. I knew my dad was going. I mean, this has been going on for years. That triple bypass surgery bought him about 5 or 6 years. The last two of it wasn't too good. So, but it did buy him some time. And overall, you know what I mean? He didn't like it. He couldn't do what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I was with him when he died. He was asleep, died in his sleep. And because they basically put him under, and you know, died peacefully. He fucking entered the fucking realm of the nether world of the Force, and so he could recycle. Entered the Pleroma.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't move forward in that body. It was all fucked up. He had all kinds of problems.
Yeah, I mean, he had lung cancer. He had diabetes.
He had a triple bypass, bad heart.
Yeah.
He's missing most of his teeth because of the diabetes. His right foot was swelled up, and he got sepsis and pneumonia.
Oh yeah, that too.
It was just overwhelming him, and it was just because his blood pressure was so fucking low, because his heart started to fail from congestive heart failure.
Yeah.
So it was like six things at once, and so there was no way out of it.
I mean,
they treated him, and after a few days, they're like, the only thing keeping him alive is this heart medicine, this blood pressure medicine. And the longer we keep him on this, the more his heart becomes congested.
Yeah.
So we're like, so we want to know what it is you want to do. And we're like, let him go. And they said, okay.
I mean, so, he was saying that too.
Yeah, he was saying, let me die.
Yeah.
He wasn't saying that when we were around. He was putting on a...
Yeah, he didn't want
to... He didn't want us to hear that. He was telling the nurses, let me go, let me die.
And yeah, then, my grandma was doing that too,
yeah,
toward the end.
And so he's like, the only thing that's keeping him alive is that blood pressure medicine. So they cut meds on him, and then they just started hitting him every 2 hours with a pretty healthy wallop of morphine. So I went in there, you know, they called us back. This was in the middle of the night, around 10.
Well, it was, yeah, because I was on, like, I was on FaceTime with you.
Yeah.
And then Scott came and knocked on you, on
yeah,
the,
knocked on the door.
And I was like, we got to go to the hospital.
We got to go back to the hospital.
And you were like, okay, I'll, you know.
No, I went, is he dead? And they said, no, but he's going. And I said, okay. So, got back there, and they told us what the deal was, is that he wasn't going to make it. So, they pulled treatment on him, started flooding him with morphine. But when we showed up there, you know, we didn't talk to him. We didn't say anything about death or anything. We told him he was getting better. He's like, man, his numbers are looking good, you know, as we lied the whole way.
Well, you don't...
Didn't want to upset him. He knew.
Yeah, and the thing about it is that, like, you went through the whole thing, you know, when he was there for the bypass.
Yeah.
And, like I said, he got a little bit of hospital psychosis.
Yeah.
He was thinking of shooting his way out of the hospital because he thought he'd been kidnapped. So it's like, so they're kind of just trying to keep him calm, you know.
They had
I mean?
Him tied down.
They didn't want to panic.
Yeah, they had him tied down. His knuckles were all purple from when he was punching the side of the bed and fucking pulling.
Yeah,
fucking...
So he was a handful.
Yeah,
he was
fighting. And I said, they said you're kind of uncomfortable right now. He showed up and it was dark. See, they had the fucking hospital lights.
Yeah, because he sent me the video. I'm like, oh man, it's so dark.
It was dark in there because it was nighttime lighting.
Yeah.
So we showed up. He knew something was up because, you know, it wasn't visiting.
It wasn't hours. Visiting hours.
He said they called us and I walked in there, you know, and I said they called us. They said you're kind of you're not comfortable right now. You're in some discomfort. He goes, yeah, yeah. They said they're gonna go ahead and give you some more of that pain medicine. He goes, yeah, yeah. I need some of that.
Yeah.
And they dosed him and he fell asleep.
Yeah.
And he died at 6 o'clock in the morning. 6:45.
Like 6:45 in the morning.
They just kept hitting him with more morphine.
Yeah.
I was watching, his blood pressure was already real low. And that started to falter and it flatlined. And then one by one, all the other ones flatlined. And then gone. But he didn't know what hit him. He was knocked out.
Yeah, so Tom was there, and his cousin Scott was there, and his Aunt Krista was there. They pretty much stayed all night, right? Didn't you guys? Yeah. You stayed all night?
Yeah. And when he died, fucking me and Scott presented arms because we're both ex-service and shit. Scott is ex-Army. He was in the 101st and ex-Navy at the same time. The Navy pimped him out to the 101st over in Afghanistan. So he... after he died, we both presented arms. We played fucking Amazing Grace, bagpipe
version. Oh, did you really?
Yeah, you didn't. Out of the tablet. Played Amazing Grace fucking.
Oh, that's nice.
Out of the tablet.
Yeah, I didn't know you did that.
Yeah, and then we left.
Yeah.
We left. Now they're having a ceremony for him, but I couldn't stay for all that. That's mostly for friends. I was with him, so.
Yeah.
They said, you don't have to stay for
because they couldn't decide. Like, they were like, well, maybe it's Saturday and maybe it's Monday. And Tom's like, look, I can't stay that long. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so. They're like, oh, okay, yeah, go back, because you were with him.
Yeah.
This is for people that hadn't seen him and shit.
That hadn't seen him in one.
Yeah, and he's, you won't see his body. He's good. He's cremated.
Yeah.
They're just going to have, like, a wake.
Yeah, that's the same, right. Like, that's the same thing my grandmother, and actually, when my grandmother died, she's like, I don't want a funeral or any of that bullshit. Right. She's like, you know.
And, he gave me his truck.
Yeah.
But I didn't drive it back. It's a Ford F-150 2003 with about 230,000 miles on it. It's in good condition, though. He had upgraded it. It had a rear view camera and everything. It was red. It was a solid truck, but it got 12 miles to a gallon.
Yeah.
And I'm not driving that fucking thing back.
Because he told me, you rented, what was it, a Toyota Camry?
Yeah.
He rented a Toyota Camry from Enterprise to drive there.
Yeah.
And when he got back, he said, I got all the way there on a tank and a half. Yeah. Right? You said a tank and a half.
I went... No, less.
Really?
I went there and back on a tank and a half.
Fuck me. Did you really? Yeah. I thought you meant you went one way on a tank and a half. I was like, wow, that's good.
No.
But wow, that's even better.
No. No. Two and a half. Two and a half tanks.
Okay.
It was about a tank each way.
Still, that's really good.
Yeah. And when I came back, I still had a... When I came here, I had a half a tank. Because it got 40 miles to a gallon. It's 500
God
miles.
God damn.
500 miles.
That's awesome. That's
bad, man. That was a badass car. It was a 2003 Toyota Camry. I fucking loved it.
23.
It was a 23. It was this year. Or, you know, last year. And that thing had the best cruise control I've ever fucking had. You could set it to cruise at 80. And if a car got in front of you, it had radar. It would slow down. It matched the speed of that car. And when it got out of your way, it accelerated.
They have all kind of cool shit on cars.
Yeah, it was fucking badass.
I'm so used to driving my old 2004, which doesn't have anything on it.
Yeah, I could go down and fucking, while it was on cruise control, go down and hit the paddles and try and select how many miles an hour I wanted it to cruise at. You could go up or down. And it had a central display with cameras, and it had Bluetooth, and I'm fucking jamming the music. Fucking, I got Google Earth going and listening to fucking Wang.
Listening to
Wang's fucking show.
Well, because he has a bunch of videos like up that are like hours 7 hours long.
Yeah. I was listening to like I put on the selection where he had like 2.5 hours once.
Yeah.
And you could use the paddles to fucking go to the next video.
Right.
So you could go through his whole catalog. Never lost fucking connection the whole way. Dang. And, it was good. I was in
modern era, man.
And they built a bunch of roads in the Deep South, so I was able, didn't have to go to Biloxi and then cut up. Came out of the Florida Panhandle and jumped across the skinny part of Alabama, and then came out through the backside of fucking, I've never been in that part of Mississippi, and then showed up coming through the back roads, the back way of Heidelberg. I was like, man, I know I'm only 5 miles. I'd have never seen this place, and then I was there at the destination. It was spooky out there.
Much easier.
Just country roads, real fucking windy. 45-mile-an-hour speed limit. It still saved me like 2 hours.
Yeah, that's excellent.
Yeah. I wasn't going 45, though. I was going more like 60.
Well, yeah. See, I never go the fucking speed limit.
And on the way there, that final 2 hours, didn't see a car.
Really?
Didn't pass a car. Never saw one. That's how desolate that place is.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out because it's like, I know it's about a 9-ish hour drive.
Yeah.
Because I remember when I was waiting for you to come home, like on Wednesday night, after I finished the show, I saw that you had sent me like a voicemail, and you said, "Oh, I think I'm in Tallahassee, or I'm in around Tallahassee." And so I was like, "Shit, I can't even remember how far Tallahassee is from here. It's about 3 hours and 40 minutes from Eustis to like Tallahassee is."
So I get there, man. There's all kind. I've made all kinds of videos. Yeah. Jenny's got them loaded up. We're gonna play the videos. And it should be.
It's like 10 minutes worth. About 10 minutes. Did like little.
Should be that we can that you'll be able to hear us, hear the video and us simultaneously.
I think that that should happen.
Yeah. We may not have. I may not have to comment though.
Well, because a lot of it has your audio on. Yeah, I'm talking. But like, I can turn the audio on. Yeah. Danny said, "Sick truck. Hopefully, you keep it."
No, I'm selling it.
Yeah, he's having.
I left it.
He's having his aunt sell it.
Yeah.
They're gonna sell it. And
yeah, I left it there.
Send us some money.
It's worth more money in Mississippi than it is here.
Yeah. And it was just,
that's what they're looking
like
for.
Like you said, because he was thinking about it before, he's like, well, maybe I should just like turn the car, the rental car in Mississippi and then drive the truck back.
Yeah.
But he's like, this truck only gets like 12, 14 miles to the gallon.
12
he's
miles
like,
to a gallon.
So it's going to spend like cost me a lot more money in gas, like going back.
Yeah. It was like 12 miles an hour. Practical. 12 miles to a gallon highway. And like 11 miles to a gallon fucking city.
See, that's not acceptable.
It looked good. It's not acceptable. The truck looked good. But that was a field truck. It didn't have carpeting or anything. It was all rubber mats in the inside. It was real basic interior. Because that's what he was hunting out of. It's something you could clean with a pressure washer inside. That's what they want in Mississippi. That's not what you want in Florida. In Florida, here a truck is like a prestige item. It goes down a road with a whole bunch of lights on it. It looks like a motherfucking UFO coming at you. They're fucking 10 feet tall. They got a whole disco fucking balls of display beaming on the ground.
Truck nuts.
Huge fucking lights. They're obnoxious, man. They got fucking 9 set of lights on the front of them. Some lights that beam straight down on the ground. Fucking 2 sets of headlights and then another set on the fucking roof.
And it is very obnoxious.
Yeah, and the stereo system's in the back. It's in the fucking bed with the fucking speakers pointed out, so it blasts all on the person directly behind them.
Right. Well, like I said, it's for assholes.
It's for assholes.
It's for assholes.
Yeah, only assholes.
It's like, look, I'm going to blind everybody and make everybody deaf on the highway.
Make everybody listen to my shitty ass fucking, it's country and rap hybrid music. So boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
You could hear the fucking bass fucking 2 miles away.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's a fucking redneck.
So people like our neighbor 2 houses down. Not our neighbor, but that guy 2 houses down. Yeah. That it's like, I'm surprised. Actually, now that I mention it, I haven't heard his stereo this evening.
Yeah.
Maybe he went out. Because usually it'd be rattling the walls because it's Friday. You know what I mean? So,
if I had a truck, it'd look like something out of Mad Max.
Now, you remember when your dad, when we lived at the old house in Sanford, your dad came to visit us for Thanksgiving, right? And didn't he drive that truck the whole way?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought I recognized that truck.
Well, he had money. He had money. Yeah. He didn't spend it. You know, he spent it. Well, he didn't spend it on his house. I'm going to show you guys the house.
Yeah, Tom got video of the house.
Man, I got up. I was going, damn, I can't believe this. Because, I lived there for almost most of the summers of my youth, starting off in like 1981. And it's like a time capsule. It's unchanged. It's still like 1981. It's just it has modern television and shit.
That's about the only modern.
That's the only thing he changed. And he spent all that time fucking smoking in there. All the walls were yellow.
Yeah.
And had his mama seen that, his mama would have freaked out. He didn't clean the any of the curtains either. All the curtains were yellow from fucking tar.
I feel like when dudes live alone, I don't feel like they never wash curtains or walls or anything.
No, didn't wash walls. Or
sometimes they'll clean other stuff, but they don't really think of it.
And he stopped smoking 4 or 5 or 6 years ago after that bypass.
Yeah,
but still he didn't clean up he didn't clean the walls.
Right,
he was infirm.
Yeah, but you know.
And but here. What's the first video?
Oh, wait. Xanada said, how many miles was it to get there?
About 500 each way.
Yeah, I think it's... Yeah, you said about 600. It's something like that, yeah.
It was almost a 9-hour drive.
Yeah, it's like a 9-hour drive.
But you know, I'll tell you what, though, in that Toyota, it was a fucking sweet drive. It was easy.
Yeah,
just because of that fucking high-tech cruise control. That made that shit just a breeze, and all the entertainment that you can have in there. Time just fucking flies. That's not the way it was when I was young, making them big old fucking trips with a damn Thomas book map, fucking map books.
God, I remember that. That sucked so hard.
And then you're writing it out and you're plotting fucking like, how many miles on it, and you got it all written down. Okay, when's that turn coming? You have your
sucked so bad.
And then you're stopping all the time. You're trying to, you don't know where fuel stops are going to be. There's a lot more roads in the south, so you can go a direct shot, and there's a lot more fuel stops and rest areas, lots of rest areas.
Yeah.
It seemed like there was a rest area whenever I wanted one. And the rest areas are nice. They're not what they were back in the 80s.
Yeah, like 90s. I said, it's better nowadays.
Yeah.
Doing road trips and stuff, it's much, much easier.
They're clean. They got guards in there.
Yeah. Back in the old days, it's like, I was scared to stop at a rest stop back then. Because it's like, am I going to get murdered today? Let's see.
The guards keep all the fucking hookers and all the fucking drug dealers and weird shit that used to happen over at the fucking truck stops. Fucking glory holes, dudes trying to suck your dicks and shit. Yeah.
Well, that's what the pro tip.
Went down there to go fucking get his dick sucked. But,
pro tip, if you see a hole in the wall in the bathroom, don't stick your dick in it unless you want it to go into some random mouth. Because that's what might happen. Tammy says, my mom's viewing was today. I wish I could have been with her when she died. She had been all alone in her apartment.
Terrible.
See, that's that's really sad.
Well, she probably didn't know that she was dying. Did she? She probably just died.
Yeah.
Suddenly. My dad knew he was dying.
I'm just glad
that...
He had several
days. He had years warning. He knew he was gone.
Yeah.
He was sick of it.
Yeah. I mean, you even talk to him on the phone,
Yeah.
You know, every so often, and he would just be like, man, I'm sick of this shit. And he just wasn't feeling good. He couldn't go fishing like he used to do.
Yeah, his friends weren't hanging out with him or couldn't take him anywhere because he wasn't well enough.
Right. But, you know, it's so... But... I'm kind of glad that you left a little bit earlier than you were going to, because you were actually going to leave on the Monday, but you left on the Saturday instead, and he died on Tuesday morning, early Tuesday morning. So I feel like it's good that you actually got to go and hang out with him for a couple of days, before that happened. You know what I mean?
I hung out with Joey Tribble and his wife. What was her name? Fuck, man, it's got Clarice. And then met their son. And it was funny, we were just talking. My dad's the last white man in Heidelberg. It's almost all, it's like 99%, 0.99% black. He's the last white guy. He was like a legend. Yeah, he's real popular. And his caregiver was Clarice's sister, Keisha. I met her. And Keisha'd come over every day, make sure he was all right. Do some of his medical stuff. And she came to see him before he died. She's like, you know I love you. He goes, I love you too. She gave him a big kiss on the mouth. She goes, I had him. I had him dancing and everything. You know, but he used to, she came and told me stories, you know, that he used to take her to lunch. You go, you ready to get something to eat? She goes, I don't know, Mr. Tom. I'm full. She goes, I don't want to hear that. Get in the truck. And he'd take her to wards and shit.
Yeah,
but Keisha was cool. Looking, when you know he's dying, and I go, Dad, you didn't tell me you had a black girlfriend. He's like, oh yeah. He said all kinds of funny shit when he saw me. He's like, I said, Dad, it's me. And he's like, yeah, because he didn't recognize me at first.
Yeah, because he hadn't seen you.
He hadn't seen me, and I said, cut my hair, and I got. He goes, you never see me bald and it with a beard. And I go, look at my hair, look at my beard. And he goes, yeah, that's right. Look good. Looks good.
Yeah.
And then I said, oh, yeah. And then about 2 or 3 minutes later, he looked at me and goes, muscled up. He couldn't talk real well. It was a real strain to talk. And I said, yeah. So I started fucking posing for him. Yeah, look good. Look good. And then 15 minutes later, they're all talking to him. He looks at me and goes, muscled up. I said, yeah. He couldn't really speak too well. It was it was little short sentences, you know, 2 or 3 words, 4 words. That was because it was just, he too much of a strain on him.
Yeah.
But he was trying to put on, he would tell you what, there was not an ounce of fear in him. You know, kind of fucking grateful that he put on such a good face around us. You know, he probably was scared of dying, but he wouldn't show it around us.
Yeah, I kind of think
most he didn't want to make us fucking uncomfortable. But he kept saying, "Let me die." But he would say, but we didn't hear that. He was saying saying that to them when we weren't there. And he goes, looks at me and goes, "I'm dying." And I said, "No, you're not." And he goes, "What makes you think so?" I said, "Them numbers looking better than they did yesterday. That you could come out of this." And he just didn't say nothing. Breathing, you know, kind of struggling with it. He goes, "Put my feet up. Feet down." He'd do feet up, feet down in 20 seconds. He just wasn't comfortable.
Yeah.
Nothing was working on him. Couldn't regulate his body temperature too well either. But, you know, so we went there like 2 or 3 days, visited him 3 times. It was only like a little 10-minute visit. But when we showed up at 10, when the lights were off, he knew something was wrong.
Yeah.
And he knew the time was at hand. They said, "You're not feeling good. They're going to come in here and give you some pain medicine." He goes, yeah. And they came and gave it to him. He's like, yeah. And then he blanked out and fell asleep, snoring. Never woke up.
Yeah.
That was the best option for him.
Yeah. Well, and like you said, it's, you know, it's sad, but it's a lot of...
There was no other option.
Yeah, that's the thing. He was suffering, and it's like... And it's a lot of weight off you, too, because we've been worried about it since he went through the bypass.
Yeah.
Like, you just kept waiting to get that phone call.
Waiting to get that phone call, and it could have gone a lot worse for
him.
He could have lingered for a long, long time and not seen any results. They made... Euthanasia is not legal in Mississippi. But to have ways of what they call alleviating pain. It's morphine.
Yeah.
So they can find excuses to give you morphine.
Yeah.
When you're dying, and they knew he was dying, the only thing that was keeping him alive was blood pressure medicine. And they knew that once they stopped that, if he couldn't keep his blood pressure up on his own, and he had a do not resuscitate order, he said he didn't want to be resuscitated. So they knew that once they took him off of that and his heart pressure started to drop, they knew that you could apply pain relief to that.
Which, like I said, that's really the best thing to do in those situations.
Yeah, and they just kept piling that pain relief on. I saw what they were giving him, and it was like going down. I don't know if it was morphine, but it was a morphine-like substance.
Like I said, making people suffer is not cool.
No, he just fell asleep and then just slowly shut down.
Yeah, he probably liked it.
And that was... best thing for him, because he couldn't back off of that. And what's he going to do? Go back home and just, you know, lay in a bed for 6 months, never be able to get out, just fighting and fucking trying to fight one thing and losing another battle. And it's just his body was shot. And he had terminal cancer anyway.
Yeah.
Even if you were to fix a lot of that shit, the cancer would have killed him.
I mean, if I was in that situation, I wouldn't really want to live like that.
Yeah, no.
Because you can't do anything.
You couldn't do anything. You're just fighting it for the rest of his life.
You're just in pain, and you're uncomfortable all the time.
Yeah.
It's like, it would get old. You know what I mean? Like I said,
He was already sick.
I went through the same thing with my grandmother. She had stomach cancer, and, you know, they did surgery, but they thought they got it all, and they didn't, and then they were like, "Well, we can do chemo," and she was like, "Nah, fuck that." She's like, "I don't want to go through all of that." She's like, "I'll be sick. All my hair will fall out." She's like, "I'm just going to feel like crap, and it probably won't help." So,
you guys ready to see the videos? If you're ready to see the videos, we'll play them.
Yeah, we can
do it. Are they in order?
Like I said, I didn't really know, like, what the time deal was. Like, because I downloaded all of them from Facebook.
Yeah.
And then I put them all in my video editing program. And when I put them in there, it seemed like it didn't put them in chronological order. So what I tried to do was I just tried to like group them together. Okay. So they might not be in chronological order.
Okay. All right. This is Heidelberg, Mississippi.
All right.
It's a little German town. No, let me talk to him first.
Okay.
It's a little German town. It was a German village. All right. I don't think it ever had any more than 1,000 people in it at its height. It's about 12 miles outside of Laurel, Mississippi. Now, Laurel, Mississippi is kind of the center of an ongoing long cable TV program called
Hometown, which I only just found out about.
Yeah,
it's on HGTV, I guess.
Yeah, they've been going on for about 8 years. Hometown is a home renovation show where some people from Laurel
it's like a married couple, and
they can take a $100,000 home that's from the 50s or something and turn it into just, man, that house would be worth a million.
Yeah, we watched a couple of them last night, and yeah. I was like, wow, this is pretty fun. Right.
And they were doing that down in Laurel's historic district. But all the money got sucked out. It used to be pretty wealthy. Well, or let's say it was middle class, which is real well, which is a lot of money for the South at the time where that shit was booming. And it had an upper class that was very wealthy. Big fucking southern mansions and big fucking fake plantation houses. They weren't plantations. They were downtown, but they looked like a plantation house. So if you ever watch Our Town, or the Hometown.
Hometown, it's called. Two words.
Yeah, two Hometown.
On HGTV.
Yeah.
We're watching it on HBO Max. HBO Max has, because I have that, and they have all 8 seasons, apparently.
Yeah, and that's actually where my dad grew up. But he moved out to a little satellite village called Heidelberg. And this is it. And it's in the videos. I'll show you outside of his fucked up 1950s house. And then inside and outside. And I forgot, me and my cousin, Scott, talking about how yellow the walls were. We're joking about it.
Like I said, I'm
Scott's
not sure.
Scott's mom's in it, which is my dad's sister. She's laughing.
Yeah, Krista, her name is.
Krista, yeah.
Yeah, I'll put it on. I'm going to run to the bathroom and get more, but I'll put this on. Now, they should, like, ask them, because they should be able to hear you talking as well as you talking on the video.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes, all right?
Yeah.
So here they go.
Come here. I lived here for a little while.
This is my dad's house in there. It's freezing. It's cold as hell.
I've been paid on this thing. Damn. Wow.
It needed to be painted real badly.
This across is the street right school, there. Old school, man. Old school.
That's where dad's truck. That's the truck. That's the truck he left. That's the car I rented.
Came in here with this.
It needed to be washed, but it was in pretty good condition.
This house looking needs to be painted bad. Found. That is a sure enough bullet hole.
Bullet hole.
He accidentally shot a fucking hole through the fucking window, man, and put a cotton ball in it. That is a bullet hole. If his mom found about that, she'd be fucking freaking out. You fucking shot a hole in the window.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Straight up time capsule, though.
It is a time capsule.
Got you in Korea.
Got a fucking modern TV on a 1970s fucking stand, plastic. Pictures of all the family. There's Casey. Fucking my dad as a teenager. Me, Scott. Who's this?
That might be. No, that's Bolivar.
That's my granddad right there.
That might be great granddad.
Great
granddad.
That's a gun safe. This is all for reloading. Making ammunition.
This is the reason.
It's a Civil War toy gun.
That's a toy gun from the Civil War.
It works. It shoots percussion caps.
Yeah, it's a toy gun from the Civil War.
I remember that motherfucker like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
Like y'all show him. OG McCormick.
Look how old that spice is. That's from like the 70s. Look at that. Look at that. He's not cooking. He's not cooking, is he? He's not clearing his fucking...
I think maybe Clarice and them are feeding.
Yeah. Somebody's feeding him.
Cook. I mean, he cooked a little bit. Like, Mom had to clean the stove up.
Yeah.
But it's like hot dogs and...
Right.
Meat and shit, you know?
Yeah. Man, those fucking plates. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Little mama painted that bullshit.
Yeah.
It's like just... She hand-painted all that stuff.
They got the chicken over there. Like in the back. Like fucking that dude, that damn green chicken, man.
Yeah, no.
With the fucking jelly beans in that bitch.
Scott's, working for the Navy. Isn't that Navy
Scott
stuff?
Is the maritime contractor for the U.S.
He's running
Navy.
Stuff
He's
live,
deploying
sending contractors out and shit to do
maintenance crews stuff inside the Navy. That's what
this
he's doing
right here.
Is that's my old military school
military
uniform.
School dress uniform.
I didn't know where it went. My dad had it.
This old gun cabinet looks like something from the Civil War.
It's a Civil War era gun cabinet. That's my dad's room.
My dad's room. It actually looks pretty good. It's all wood here.
It's all wood.
It's because it didn't have any damn carpeting. Or not carpeting. It doesn't have any wallpaper.
Just a little bitty southern house.
So it aged pretty nice here. This is what it looks like.
Central air went out, so he's just using window units.
That's what the neighborhood looks like.
It had it one time, but he didn't bother fixing it. It was just cheaper to buy.
It's a fucking time capsule. Yeah, no, before that. This is like something out of them.
It's a little low, I think. Isn't it?
Yeah. This is like something more like, yeah, from late 70s and
80s. It's all the way up.
Okay, so they're here.
It's aged so much.
It's just low.
The floor isn't straight.
Was the floor straight, though?
I think it was straight.
Because our volume and their volume.
Yeah, I think it was. Look at these curtains, man. Fucking, they're like four different colors of yellow. You can't really, they don't really show, doesn't really show up in the video here. But yeah, this place is very vintage. This is like a fucking cabin out of the movies now. Well, what it is he never painted it and never changed anything. Never did any wallpaper. Look at that color.
I mean,
look at the damn difference in the color from all the smoking.
I can't really see it. Shit. Watch. No, you can see it. Watch.
Fever. Can't see it in this light. Yeah. Yeah. You can see it. He was fucking. There was some chain smoking in here, man.
Everybody did.
Fuck. We, cleaned the spot. We made a huge clean spot. We sprayed some cleaning solution up there and it was like, look, it was like pure fucking tar and nicotine started fucking coming down. It got better. I had to clean up actually. You can see that, you can see that the place where we clean. Yeah, Chris is mad I made a clean spot.
Right.
Yeah, Chris, you know you fucked up. You made a clean spot.
Yeah, you made a clean spot. Look at that. I did it on the damn floor, and I'm sorry I did it. It was an error in judgment.
Made a clean spot.
She made a clean spot. It's like, fuck. What have I done?
Yeah. Them cigarettes, they're bad for you.
My old uniform. He had it.
You brought that back, didn't
you?
Yeah,
I got it.
Yeah, I thought you brought him back.
Yeah.
I know you had one like that.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah, that's the real one. That's the one I wore in Egypt.
Oh,
all right. Or one of them. I didn't see the other one.
I knew you had one here.
Yeah.
This shit.
But I'd never seen those ones.
Yeah.
I love this. He sent me this and I just laughed my ass off.
Damn.
This is a recliner.
Damn. Oh, this is like a bed, man. It's like, what the fuck? What the fuck? Damn. Talk about recliner. This shit's fucking. That's why he never did anything. He just laid in this shit. It's like
get
a
out.
Bed.
That was the Chinese buffet, right?
Yeah, Chinese buffet.
Yeah, he went there a couple of times.
Waitress was flirting with me. I took a picture of her.
Yeah, because I was like, look. And I was like, I think she knows you're filming her, bro.
She didn't care.
Show you some real southern shit here.
Yeah, he was
this is what real
like,
Mississippi
he's like, this girl
looks
like. Is like
these old fucking houses.
Me where is she, how come she ever seen
these houses and shit.
This is downtown Laurel.
It's like some shit from the haunted house.
I brought around here when I was a kid.
Stuff like that. This is the Sawmill Square Mall where I used to come when I was a kid. There's a Belk here now, of all things. That's a Belk. But this is where my dad took me to see The Thing, like twice. I saw fucking all kinds of good movies here. I saw Flash Gordon here. It wasn't called Southwest Theaters back in those days. I forgot what it was. But you could walk in that door, and right on the right was a fucking Aladdin's Castle fucking arcade. Used to fucking $20 in there. That was like a shit ton of money back then, buying tokens. The anchors are all gone. It's just a bullshit mall now.
Zach said you should do a Dan Bell voice when you showed this.
I did do a Dan Bell
voice. Move on.
That's Dan Bell.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. Too much testosterone.
Well, it's not a dead mall, but it's not super active the way it used to be. Yeah, I remember what this place was like back in the 80s. Yeah.
What is that? $1. Oh, it's a dollar store.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that even open?
Nothing's really popular.
Yep, just yeah, sitting on them damn chairs. Yeah, this is where that arcade used to be. A long time ago, they changed it. And this is where we used to see these movies all the time.
So there's still a
I forgot the name of what this theater used to be.
So it used from to New be York
called there. Southwest.
Wow.
Yep.
There's still, saw it's Aliens still there. In yep, there. Just named something else.
Aliens 2 for the first time.
Aliens 2, I saw it there.
I love this. Look how fucking giant.
Yeah, this is at the hospital.
Look how giant that is.
It's live. It's full size, and they got baby Jesus back there going, oh fuck it, oh fuck it,
got a little baby Jesus. Earl Cemetery. This right here is where David Key's old house was. It burned down, and behind this was the woods that we used to play in, and that we used to burn down all the time. That's where all that shit happened.
Hooligans.
Right over there, but it's overgrown now. It's just an empty lot. But this is the Laurel Cemetery. We used to play here when we were kids. This is usually open, but it's closed now. We've got to take a weird route to get out. But that's where we were scared of fucking Jason and shit. It was a nice house. This is what Ward's looks like.
That's Ward's.
It's a cute place. Yeah.
It's a Mississippi-only chain called Ward's. Yeah. There's 80 locations.
I think that might be it.
Yeah. I got a little octoroon girl as a damn mascot.
Yeah, I had heard of it, but they don't have any outside of Mississippi, as far as I know.
Yeah, that was the end of it.
Yeah,
okay.
Because he was like, because he showed me that, and I was like, what the hell is that? Is it a restaurant Ward's. Or a bar or something?
Ward's is Mississippi's version of McDonald's, but it's not really like McDonald's. It's more like Sonic, kind of like Sonic, but it has breakfast.
Yeah, does Sonic have breakfast? I don't know. I haven't been to
breakfast. The breakfast is kind of just biscuits, like biscuits with sausage biscuits,
so bacon, like Waffle Housey,
kind of like Waffle House
or Hardee's. Better than
more Hardee's. Like Waffle House, but it's not like full sit down breakfast. It's breakfast sandwiches. They might have some sit down type breakfast.
What'd you get there? You didn't tell me.
Got the double burger. It's called the double big one. They got the big one and the little one.
The double big one.
Yeah, they got the double big one. They got the big one.
Of course.
The double big one. They got the little one. And I think they got a double little one. And then you could have it with chili on it.
Ew.
It's good. I didn't get it with chili, though.
So sloppy. But I mean, the whole
thing. They don't put a whole lot.
Well, the whole point of a burger is like to pick it up and eat it with your hands. If you have chili on it, you can't.
They didn't put a whole lot on it. It wasn't all messy. It was just the same chili they used on chili dogs. You'd get chili dogs. You'd get catfish there. Fried catfish.
Okay, now that's more my speed.
Yeah.
That's what I'd be in.
Southern food.
Yeah.
And they got I think I got pictures of the little mascot.
Yeah, you sent me pictures. I didn't put those in there, though. I just put the video clips.
The mascot is kind of new. And if you understand Southern culture, you see, Mississippi is about 35% black. It's the blackest state of all the states. And more than half of the locations are in black areas. And it's usually black girls working in them. Usually. So the mascot is a mixed girl. See, and she looks like what we would call an Old South octoroon. Or quadroon, which is one quarter black. Or just light skinned. She's a light skinned chick.
Well, and they kind of have a little bit of a, I feel like a World War II pinup kind of look to it also. Yeah. You know what I mean? Which I like that.
I don't have them on this
phone,
but I got them in a conversation.
John Gora said it looks like Dawn of the Dead Mall. Yeah.
Yeah, kind of. Not. It's only one story, though.
Yeah, because Don't Want and Dawn of the Dead was...
it was two stories.
That was two stories, yeah.
Yeah.
What was that? That was called the... that was in Pittsburgh.
Was I don't know. Not?
Monroeville.
Monroeville? Okay.
See? That's how much of a horror
I don't
nerd
know. I haven't seen it so
that's
long.
That's how much like, of a horror I know nerd where that I am. Was. Well, I do.
She's so much of a nerd, she wouldn't know where that shit was.
I forgot for a second, but I was like, oh yeah, Monroeville. They're Monroeville Mall. That's what, I don't think it's there anymore. I don't know. Is it still open? Anybody that lives up there? Santa said, I was born in 89, So I was the last generation to appreciate the arcades.
Yeah, arcades were fun. Yeah.
That's, yeah, Daniel also said we have chili burgers out here in the casinos.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a massive fan of chili. Like, I could take it or leave it. You know what I mean? And if I don't know. I feel like if I have a burger, I don't mind if they're a little bit sloppy, but I don't want, like, a bunch of, like, liquid shit on there. You know what I mean?
It's not liquid.
I know, but I'm just saying.
Yeah. If
you gotta eat it with a knife and fork. You didn't have the
video of my dad dying.
I didn't put that in there.
Should have put that in there.
No, I didn't. Well, I thought about it, but then I was like, that might be a little too much. No. It wasn't really of that, because you sent me that, like, several hours before that happened.
Yeah.
It was just basically, like, a few seconds of, like, the darkened room with him laying.
I have videos of it.
You can't see much of anything.
Yeah.
That's true. Because you sent me that before I went to sleep. Yeah. And then I woke up at 7:30, and I got the message that he had died.
Yeah.
At 6:45. So, because I sat up, like, talking to you until 2, I think, our time. Because Mississippi is 1 hour earlier. And that was another thing that was confusing, too, because when he was driving home on Wednesday night, he said, I'll be home about midnight. And then midnight went by, and I'm sitting there going, oh, shit, what happened? But he got home about 12:45, and then he was like, I was like, thank fuck. I was like, I was starting to get worried. He's like, yeah, I forgot about the time difference. He's like, I'm at 1 a.m.
That's the Ward's girl.
Yeah. Zach said, do you have any videos of your dad talking?
No.
Unfortunately, no. But I've heard him talk, and the impression, quote unquote, that you do, that's what he sounds like.
He sounds just like that.
He sounds just like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Murder Hornet said, is that Mississippi? Yeah.
Yep.
It's called Ward's,
and yeah.
It's a Mississippi only chain. How many? You said there was 80.
80 of them.
80 of them in Mississippi
only. Yeah. And they're good. Real good.
Yeah, I feel like I had heard of it.
They got a website too, Ward's Restaurants.
Yeah,
and they're, I would probably put the quality on par with maybe like Sonic. Mm. But it has things that you're gonna want in the South. It's gonna have fucking fried catfish. I'm sure it's got cornbread, but I didn't check. Then you can probably get it.
Cornbread.
Yeah.
I haven't had cornbread in a while.
It probably has cornbread. Oh, they had homemade root beer.
Yeah, I saw that, like, when you sent me the pictures, like, it said that on the sign. I was like, oh.
It wouldn't surprise me if they had banana pudding in there.
I mean, they gotta have banana pudding.
Yeah, banana pudding is vanilla pudding, vanilla wafers.
My grandma used to make that all the
vanilla
time.
Vanilla wafers.
I don't like it, though.
Vanilla pudding, banana slices, and whipped cream. And it kind of congeals into this
beautiful, congealing.
It's layers of it.
That sounds really
appetizing. You layer it. and all the vanilla wafers absorb the moisture, and it turns into like a pie.
And it's got to be the Nabisco
vanilla wafers.
It's got to be those. Because they have knockoff ones, but they're not quite as good. But like I said, I don't really like bananas. I'm not a big fan of banana flavor.
If you like key lime pie, you'd like that. Imagine if key lime pie was banana. With whipped cream.
Don't disparage key lime pie like that. Well, see, because I like key lime pie, but I do not like banana pudding at all.
Well, you don't like. She doesn't like bananas.
I don't like bananas.
So people that like bananas would like it.
I don't like bananas, and I especially don't.
Recipe in the book.
Yeah, and I especially don't like fake banana flavor. That's even worse.
There isn't any fake banana flavor in.
No. It has actual bananas.
Right, but I don't want you to confuse the issue. soil the name of
Nana pudding,
and it's not banana pudding. It's Nana, or Nanner,
Nanner pudding,
Nanner pudding, or Nana
without
pudding.
A G on that.
Yeah,
you have to leave the G. Right, it's Nana.
It's
pudding.
Probably spelled banana, but that's not how it's pronounced.
That's not how you say
it's
that.
Nana or Nana,
Nana pudding,
Nana pudding. Yeah, shit's fucking great. You make it in a big fucking bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, my grandma used to make it all the time.
Yeah, she scoop it out of there and make it deep, and then you scoop it out of there with a big serving spoon. Bam!
Yeah, because it's not super solid. It's kind of gloppy.
Yeah.
It's kind of gloppy.
Yeah. And if you don't want to put the whipped cream, you can put the whipped cream on it after it's in the bowl if you want. That's, some people do it that way. Some people have it layered in there, but it tends to break down. Or you know what I mean? Like, they'll put layers of it and a layer of whipped cream in there, and then they'll put more stuff on top, but the whipped cream kind of just... No, it's better to put the fucking whipped cream on it as a topping.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Because you put whipped cream on shit, like, before, like, it kind of goes, like, it kind of deflates a little bit.
It'll deflate.
You got to have it come, like, right out the fucking shit, you know what I mean?
And then you can take nana pudding, and you can make a, Bluebell makes a nana pudding ice cream.
Yeah.
Man, that shit's good. It's got vanilla wafers in it and strips of whipped cream in it.
Yeah, because Tom's like, he's going to get some of that. I was like, well, okay, but you're going to eat all of it. Cause
I'm I found some Bluebell there, but I could only find the only one, only the classic one. It was a strawberry. Their strawberry is really good. They didn't have no, they have it at Piggly Wiggly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a real southern fucking chain. Grocery stores, Piggly Wiggly.
I can't believe they named an entire grocery chain Piggly Wiggly.
Yeah, Piggly Wiggly. And there's photographs of them back in the 20s.
Yeah. So it's I mean, it's been around forever.
Yeah.
But it's just like, it's very funny to me that they named it. We had one in Daytona for a little while, but I think it closed.
It's kind of like Winn-Dixie.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think I ever went to that one, though. We usually, when I was a kid, we went to Gooding's, if anybody is in the South remembers that. Mm. And then after that closed, we went to the Winn-Dixie.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if they have those in other parts of the country. That might be a Southern thing, too. Is Winn-Dixie's a Southern thing, too, right? Just like kind of, just like Publix is?
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't got any of those. Well, I mean, we have Aldi, we have Costco, Sam's, we have all that, Food Lion. Although I think that might have gone bankrupt, right? I'm trying to think of like the grocery stores that used to be. Well, where I used to live in Daytona, there was a mile down the road, there was a Winn-Dixie on one side, and then there was a Food Lion on the other side. And then otherwhere in the town, we had Publix, we had Albertsons. I don't think I ever went to the Albertsons, though. And then we had, like, fancier shit, like Whole Foods and stuff. But, I'm too broke to go in there, so.
So the truck's being sold. It's being sold through the family. Probably go for 3.5 or 4,000.
That's not bad.
I'm thinking it'll be that. But I said sell it for whatever you can get. And then even if it was only 2,000, it's still, you know. We're going to use that as a down payment probably for a car.
Yeah, because I said either... Because
we can use your car as a trade.
That's what I was saying. I was like, if you bring the truck back, I said we could trade in the truck and the car and get a better car. Yeah. Or they could sell it and we could have, you know what I mean? Because we do need another car.
Yeah, we'll buy a car. I could afford probably a $14,000 car, $12,000 car. It'd fucking be awesome.
Yeah. I mean,
we really do
need a newer car.
We had that car as a trade-in.
My car
is
so sad.
Another $3,000 or $4,000 on there. That could be $5,000 off.
Yeah.
So we don't have to finance the rest. It'd be a lot better payment. A lot easier payment.
Because Tom doesn't have a car anymore. Like he sold his car a long time ago.
Yeah, just motorcycles.
He just has motorcycles. I have a car, but it's old. Yeah. So.
We don't drive that much.
We really don't. Yeah. So. You know what I mean? I mean, we're going out tonight. We go out, like, once or twice a month, and, you know, we go to the grocery store and shit, but that's about it. We don't go anyplace. Camp Guy said, we called Piggly Wiggly the Hoggly Woogly. That's awesome. Did Tom's dad have any cool guns? Asked Xanada.
Yeah,
he had to have a Colt 45 or something.
Yeah, but all guns went to his best friend and basically brother, who's kind of like an adopted brother, who they grew up with. Because he wouldn't stay at his house. He only stayed at my dad's house. And then William Whitman. And that safe went with him. Because he knew I couldn't bring that shit here.
Yeah.
That safe weighs thousands of fucking pounds, man. And it's all computerized. But the thing is the guns that he had were mostly bolt action, real high precision rifles that were real specifically tuned. And all that reloading gear was to reload fucking precision ammo. He could shoot, he could make match ammo. But it was funny, my dad was mostly doing that shit out of ritual because he couldn't see very well.
Yeah.
So, past 100 yards, his vision wasn't good. Yeah, he was doing sub-MOA shooting from these rifles, but he can't see 1,000 or 1,100 yards. William Whitman could, his buddy. But they were all bolt-action guns for the most part. The only pistols that he had were steel pistols, old-school steel pistols. So those went to William, too. And he had a 1911, but it wasn't American 1911. It was a what do you call it? It was a Filipino 1911, and it had a couple of upgrades on it. And he had a genuine Walther PPK in stainless. He had one of those, but William got it. But man, what would you want that for? You know, I got damn little micro TP, little Taurus fucking 380s, and you can get little Smith 380s that are half that size and far lighter now with all these polymer frames. I mean, I like steel pistols, but I'm not real sentimental about those things. I didn't grow up with my dad's pistols. He only had those for a couple years, so I didn't really know those guns. The only thing in there that looked kind of weird, looked interesting, is he had a 22 Hornet, single shot 22 Hornet break breech rifle. I had never seen that 22 Hornet. He had that. That was weird. But it looked like a break breech shotgun. It had a scope on it, though, too. Scope was mounted on the barrel, and you just broke the breech open. It was real retro. The 22 Hornet is a fucking odd caliber. It's kind of a cone-shaped little cartridge about that long. Less power than 5.56. More than 22 Magnum, though. Weird card. He was loading that. Single shot. I don't know why. He liked that. He didn't like military stuff that much. Not when it came to rifles. He didn't think they were accurate. But he was wrong. The AR-15 could be made extremely accurate. You just have to know what to do with it. But in the times where he formed all of his opinions, those parts to build those match accurate, like free float barrels and shit, they weren't available then. They're available now.
Yeah.
But he didn't really keep up with that.
Well, that's kind of the thing. That's kind of one of the hell of getting old, is that you don't keep up with shit. So it's like the opinions that you formed when you were younger tend to linger, even though shit's changed.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Although his friend William, he kept up on shit. William was big into steel pistols. He was a champion police pistol match shooter from back in the 60s. And he still goes to, what's that big old fucking long range? I don't think he went last year, but every year he goes to fucking this big long range match where they're shooting out to 1,000 yards. And he places well. And he's an old guy. Camp Perry. He does the Camp Perry shoot matches. And he's also a champion trap shooter. These guys aren't just fucking yahoos. They're pros, you know. They're good. But my dad wasn't that good. He didn't really have the time to, but William was. And he started with, 1911s and some of the early Smiths. He didn't like 9mm. He was real old school. But recently, that was 6 years ago, he was talking about shooting, and I said, what are you shooting? And he goes, oh, I got to match Acura's Glock with all kinds of things. You shooting Glock? He goes, oh, hell yeah. He goes, that trigger thing. And I said, you like that trigger? And he goes, I do now. I didn't like it when it came out. But, you know, things change. You know, he's like that, you know. So he's an old dude, and he fucking rocks with a fucking match
Acura's. Gotta keep up on shit, man.
Yeah, the competition Glock. And it's got a bunch of competition trigger modifications and stuff. He's good. And 9mm, too. Back in the day, man, even in the 80s, 9mm was kind of scoffed at here in the U.S. Just as ineffective. Because the hollow points they had for it weren't very effective. But they're better than they were.
Yeah, Xander said, damn, he had a Walther PPK. I love that. That was James Bond's gun.
Yeah, until you hold one and shoot one. They don't have a very good trigger pull. They're very heavy for their size. They don't carry much ammo. I think it's only about 8-9 rounds. So it's big and bulky by today's standards. But back in the day, that was very compact. And the recoil's pretty stiff on it. It's not gas operated. It's blowback operated. It's just a big heavy spring and a heavy slide holding it closed. That little Taurus I have is gas operated. It's like Browning swing link design. It's light recoil. It's snappy, but it's lighter recoil than that. It's like a little pocket rocket. But it got to the point to where it was shit, you just increase the size a little bit more, and it's 9mm, so you're doing that too. 380 is kind of a moot point, you know. Why 380, you know? Why not go 9mm? It's just a millimeter longer. A couple millimeters longer, might be two. A lot more pressure, a lot more power. It's fucking 30% hotter. And the gun is not that much bigger than a super you can make a real super compact 9mm and you can still shoot it. You know, it goes off, but you can shoot it. Shit, we were fucking shooting 357 Magnums that were fucking little two-shot Derringers. 357 Magnum. That was back in the day. It was a fucking rocket, man. Pocket rocket. Boom! Yeah, most of it wasted because there's not enough barrel length there to burn all that powder. Huge fucking fireball. You don't have to hit a motherfucker with that. It's just so fucking intimidating. You know, fucking fireball coming out of there about 3 feet in diameter, sounded about as loud as a rifle.
I also wanted to say thank you to Xanada for sending us the PayPal donation.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Earlier today. So that was very nice of you. That was very nice of you. So I wanted to make sure that I mentioned that, because I don't remember if I did. I don't think I did. Juan says, happy Friday. How are you two?
Thank you.
We're doing good. Doing good. You know, been kind of a little bit of a rough week, but, you know, we're okay. We're okay. Going out tonight a little bit later, about an hour from now.
Yeah, Murder Hornet saying the Filipinos built 1911s from scratch. Yeah, the Filipinos are good with guns, and they're kind of similar laws to the U.S. You can get AR-15s, you can get anything down there. And they love guns, they're good with them. And it's because they fought the Japanese, so they're not going to get rid of guns. They're paranoid about that. And they don't have a fucking high crime rate anyway. But yeah, they can take a Colt 1911, they can make one out of a damn file. They had companies that would just file them. Did a lot of handwork. They're good, and they're affordable, a lot more affordable than fucking Colt. I'm not even sure Colt still exists. I guess it does. It's not the same company as it was, and it may have never been the company you thought it was either. Colt wasn't that good. They had good quality. Their design teams are terrible. Anytime they came up with something new, it sucked. Colt 2000 sucked. Colt Double Eagle, that shit sucked. I mean, it wasn't incompetent. It's just that the thinking behind them was behind, you know.
Murder Hornet said, I was a butcher at Piggly Wiggly in Florida.
Oh, yeah?
I don't think... I might have gone at a Piggly Wiggly, but I was probably a little kid. I mostly remember going in Goodings when I was a kid, and then later Winn-Dixie. You know what I mean? But we did have a Piggly Wiggly, but I don't remember if I went in there or not. I probably did. Yeah, Xanada said, no problem, Jenny. I sent Tom a movie for you guys to review when you get the chance.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll absolutely do that. Yeah, we got, actually, our friend Brian, when I was waiting for you to come home on Wednesday night, he was like, oh, you should watch Society of the Snow on Netflix.
What was that?
I don't know.
Somebody honking?
I don't know.
Yeah, it was a weird sound, wasn't it?
It was a weird sound.
That was weird.
Yeah. But he said, you should watch that on Netflix. And so I was like, okay, well, I got a couple hours to kill before Tom comes home. So I was watching it. And I didn't realize, like, when I, you know, when it came up on the thing and I read the synopsis, because he's like, oh, it's like that movie Alive, which came out in, what, like 1992?
Yeah.
Which is based on the, you know, those rugby players. They were from Uruguay, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, crashed in the plane and ended up having to eat their dead comrades and things like that, like, to survive. And so the movie's about that, so it's another version of that. And so I'm watching it, and I was already kind of stressed out because I'm like waiting for Tom to come home and everything like that. And so, like, the scene where, like, the plane was crashing, I mean, obviously I know the story, so I knew it was gonna happen, but it's just kind of like I'm watching this shit, and just like the way they filmed it was like so horrific, and I'm like, why the fuck did I watch this? And it was just like, I was freaking out. It's a really good movie, though. It's a really good movie. It was actually number one on Netflix when I was watching it.
Yeah. Murder Hornet mentions the Tech Nine. Okay, he wants me to comment on the Tech Nine. For those of you who don't know what the Tech Nine is back during the damn Miami Vice era. On Miami Vice, you saw a lot of Tech Nines. You saw Tech Nines in a lot of fucking real cheesy B movies too. Fucking Krussel. Fucking Kurt Russell uses one in fucking Big Trouble in Little China. It's kind of like a pistol. It's got a fucking 30-round magazine in front of it and a shrouded barrel. And it's just a big, goofy fucking pistol. All right. It was tubular. It was kind of like a little submachine gun. It made out of fucking tubular steel. Well, during the fucking Miami Vice craze and fucking the drug dealer craze, you started seeing people buying Tech Nines. They were cheap. And they had a 32-round magazine. I didn't believe it was 32. 30 or 32. They kind of looked intimidating. But they had a terrible trigger pull. They kind of shot slowly. Pop, 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 pop. Just crappy. The thing is that Americans didn't know what the original was. That was actually a pretty... Intratech made them, and I believe that they were from Finland or Holland or something. They were a European country. And originally, it was going to be a bolt, a fucking blowback, bolt-open operation, fully automatic 9mm submachine gun. Now, that version didn't have a firing pin or a hammer. It just had a fixed firing pin on a bolt. And it was fucking very good. When they converted it to semi-auto, it had to have a hammer. Because of the ATF regulations, it couldn't be open bolt anymore. It had to fire from a closed bolt, which meant you had to have a firing pin and a hammer in it, and that complicated the design. And the Tech 9 had problems like cracking bolt faces, because it wasn't designed to have a fucking channel cut through it, and it wasn't designed to have mass taken off the bolt. And it really just couldn't take the beating, you know, once they turned it into a closed bolt system. So they tended to crack. But it didn't matter. They still worked. The bolt face would crack, but it would still fucking work. Just that it wasn't real confidence inspiring. And they were cheap anyway. They're gone now. They're like a meme gun. You know what I mean? The Tech 9 was the firearm equivalent of a fucking mullet. If you showed up with that thing, you were going to get goofed on. But the military original, it was a machine gun that, and it, I think it even had a damn classable buttstock on it, if I remember correctly. And it was good. It was real good. It's just that it didn't have any military buyers. It came out too late. Shit like open bolt submachine guns were out of style. They were going more to things like MP5, which were roller delayed, fucking firing from a closed bolt, more like an assault rifle. And submachine guns themselves were going out. Why pistol cartridges? Why, you know, they can shoot rifle cartridges. It's called an assault rifle. It's a lot more size efficient. But there's one caveat. If you want to suppress it or sound suppress it for indoor work, for like law enforcement, you can go with a pistol cartridge. It's less punishing for your ears. So you can shoot it indoors in teams without having to have hearing protection, so you can communicate. Contrary to what they're showing you on the movies, suppressed weapons do not hide the fact that shots have been fired. You know shots have been fired. Okay, you know, it's just that it's not allowed. You're not really quite sure how far away that was or what caliber that was. If that was a rifle or a pistol, you're not quite sure. So they do kind of confuse you, but you know shots have been fired. A suppressed 9mm pistol is about as loud as an unsuppressed 22 caliber pistol. They're not quiet. They're not silent. There are a few of them, but that's very few. They're made for silence. But if you shoot a guy with that, he's not silent. He screams. Okay? It's very hard to hide the fact that shots have been fired. Let me go get another drink.
Tammy says, off topic, but I finished watching that Lone Wolf and Cub TV series. Not sure how it compares to the movies, but I really enjoyed it. I highly recommend it.
I'd like to see it. Where can we see it?
I'll look it up.
Okay.
Yeah, Camp Guy said my wife just watched that, the movie that I watched on Netflix about the rugby players. Yeah, it's like they're from Uruguay, right? And when that happened in the 70s, right? And they crashed in the Andes Mountains, and I had forgotten how long, because I'm watching the movie and I'm like, man, they were there for a long time. Like, right, I felt like it was a month, but it was more like 2 months that they were there. And yeah, they ended up having to like eat the bodies and stuff like that. But it's a fucked up story. I mean, a bunch of them survived, a bunch of them died too. But I mean, a bunch of them survived. But like the whole first part of it, because like even like the first 10 minutes of the movie, obviously they're going to show you the plane crash. And I'm paranoid about that kind of fucking shit anyway. And so, like, so I'm sitting there watching, I'm waiting. And I know that Tom's, like, driving, like on the highway. So I was like stressed out about that because I'm like, oh, I hope he makes it home okay and stuff like that. So I'm watching this movie and then this fucking plane and they're like people getting crushed by the seats and like their legs are breaking and shit. I'm like, oh man, why the fuck did I watch this? This like stressed me out so much. But it was like, it was a really good movie though. It was really good. I saw Alive a long time ago, but because that was based on, well, this was based on a book too. But I feel like Alive, which I want to say that came out in 1992, I think. But I saw that so long ago that I think I saw that like a year after it came out, and I haven't seen it since then. But that was based on, I don't remember if they were books that were written by survivors. You know what I mean? Because I think this one might have been, but I don't remember if Alive was. But Alive was pretty good too, but it's been a long time since I've seen it. I haven't seen it since the 90s. Yeah, Camp Guy said I read the original Alive story in Reader's Digest magazine when I was a kid. And yeah, that's one of the things, reading shit like that, like I know that it's statistically really unlikely that you're going to be in a plane crash, but I don't know, man. I just don't want to risk it. Because if you do happen to have the bad luck to be in that, like it'll be the most horrific thing you've ever fucking experienced. And I just don't want to, I don't want to subject myself. I just don't. Let's see. I'd eat human ribs if I had to in order to survive. I kind of liked, like, in the movie they sort of went into, because for a long time they debated, which, like I said, I guess you would if you were in that situation, especially if you weren't starving yet. But I like that they kind of made it clear. I mean, these were all Catholics, so they were very worried about, you know, is God going to forgive us, like, for doing this, you know what I mean? So I kind of like that they had that aspect of it that gave them, like, another motivation for not wanting to do it. Because some of the people were like, no, I'm absolutely not eating people. And for a long time, they had to have, like, a couple of them had to go out there and, like, cut, you know, this is horrible, but they had to, like, cut bits off of the dead people and not tell the other people who it came from. You know what I mean? Because they didn't want to. But, you know, after they were there for such a long time, you know, and people kept dying, like, they had to eat off of people that they knew who it was, and it was, like, really traumatic for them.
Yeah.
So, I can't imagine. Like, I mean, they survived and everything like that, but it's just, like, you would never get fucking over that. You just never would. You never would.
Okay, Zach said that the MAC-10 was way better than the fucking Tech-9. True. The semi-auto MAC-10 was better than the Tech-9. Pretty much in every way, especially durability. But the full auto versions of the MAC-10 and the full auto versions of the Tech-9 were real similar. Real similar. Because I believe the full auto version of the Tech-9, I think it might have been called the KG-99. I think that's what the name was. Don't quote me on that. It's been a long time since I thought about that thing. But The full auto version of the Tech-9 got rave reviews. It wasn't quite the same gun. It had a different bolt in it, different trigger mechanism, because it was firing from an open bolt. It was lighter than the Tech-9, and it had a bunch of accessories, suppressors. It had a better buttstock. It was pretty good. The company that made it was a very serious company, the military version. It was a civilian version that sucked.
Well, as Camp Guy was saying, there were only a very few that survived, maybe four or five or six. I think, at least according to what I remember and according to the movie, I thought it was either 14 or 17 people that survived. A bunch of them died, too. But they were there for a long time. They were there for, like, I think it was 2 months or maybe, like, over 2 months. They were in the mountains. And they got found. I mean, it was just kind of pure luck because two of them hiked out. Like, they left all that, because they, you know, were, there was part of the plane there, like, part of the fuselage, and they were kind of staying in that. Like, it got buried by an avalanche at some point. It was, like, it's just, I was talking to Zach while I was watching the movie, like, on Facebook Messenger, and I was just like, these poor guys, it just keeps getting, like, worse and worse. And, you know, it's like they're like, okay, we survived, and then, like, the fucking airplane got buried, and they're like, fuck me, and they were under for, like, 4 days before they could dig their way out and shit like that. So, but I think in the end, like, two of them were like, fuck this, we're gonna, like, try and get into, because they were going to, Chile for a, you know, for a rugby match, and they were almost there. I think they were only, like, 10 minutes from landing. So they were like, okay, well, we're going to hike this way and see if we can get into Chile. But I don't think anything worked out that way, so they kind of went the other way. And it so happened that two of the guys made it to this stream, like, that was kind of far down the mountain where there had been a thaw. And, like, a guy on a horse just happened to see them. And then, like, so they went back to the camp and, like, you know, they sent out the helicopters to pick up the other dudes and stuff like that. But it was, like, just super lucky that that happened. Because, man, I'm watching this movie, I'm like, oh, it was so, like, I said, I knew that most of them lived, but it was just, like, fucking, I was just like, these poor fucking people. I can't imagine being in that situation. I'd be like, you know what, just fucking kill me. That's fine. I don't want to go through this shit. Oracle said, I have some sad news to share. Last Saturday morning, we had to say goodbye to our cat, Ash. He was 17 years old.
Yeah. Oh,
that's a bummer.
That's a long life for a cat, though.
It is, but still, I don't like, you know, I don't like to think about it because, I mean, Pookie's only six, but,
yeah,
you know.
Pookie could be around another 11 years.
She better be.
Yeah.
She better live forever. Bam better live forever, too. They both better live forever. Well, and Beijing is what, 14?
Yeah.
I think she's 14.
Yeah, and she's still going strong. She has little spots where her kidneys start bothering her and she starts throwing up. And then she stops eating for a while. We'll give her some medicine, some fucking kidney medicine, and she shakes it back, and then she comes back and says, okay, I'm good now.
Yeah,
and then she'll be able to hold food down.
Yeah.
It's because she ate a lizard. She was eating lizards.
Yeah.
And there's evidently something like that lizards can carry that can cause a bunch of liver damage. And they say it's kind of, it's like a virus. You can treat it, but you never really can cure it.
Yeah, so she keeps having little relapses.
Like relapses,
but she always comes back out of it.
Yeah. I guess it's kind of like getting herpes. It just keeps coming back, and, you know, it'll be better, and then it'll come back.
The weird thing, here's the funny thing. So when Tom was gone, Bambi didn't really seem to act any different, because she has a weird relationship with you.
Yeah, she likes to run from me and tries to get me to chase her, but she doesn't. She likes me to pet her, but she doesn't see me as, like, part of the family. I'm like an outsider.
Yeah, weird.
Yeah. She's like, I'm not supposed to be
here. She fucking loves me, though, man.
Yeah.
She never leaves me alone. She just, like, she's like my little shadow.
Yeah.
Like, wherever I am, she's right there. If I'm in the office, she's sleeping in the office, like, all day long, like, right by my chair.
She's a rescue cat. She came from another family. Maybe there was a guy there that was mean to her.
That's kind of what I figured.
So she kind of doesn't really trust me. Or she forgets about me.
Yeah.
She'll be okay once I start petting her, and then she wants to hang out. And then if she hadn't seen me in a while, and I show back up, she's like, and then she runs.
Who are you?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. So when Tom was gone, Pookie was like, she was acting a little bit weird. Like, she was acting a little confused. Like, where is Daddy? And I was like, he's coming back. She'd like, because Tom would send me videos or voice messages or whatever, and I'd be sitting in the bed playing them, and Pookie would jump up on the bed. And
I hear him.
Like, like sniffing at the phone, like, why is he in this little
Where is he?
This little box. Is he in there? Like, what's going on? Where is he at? Like, why isn't he giving me meat sticks right now?
Yeah.
And so there was that. But then when Tom actually came home, she was mad at him.
Yeah, she turned her back on me. She's just sitting there looking at me.
She was like,
I was like, Pookie, where are you? Where are you? And I couldn't find her. And then I was petting. Bam. And I turned around and she's sitting at the end of the hallway just sitting there watching me. And I was like, what you doing, Pooh? Come here. And I went over there and picked her up. She didn't run. I picked her up and tried to hold her. And then she's pushing away.
She's like.
She's like this the whole time I hold her. She's
like, get off me.
Yeah. And then I put her down on the bed and shit. And she's like, yeah. Because she thought I did something bad.
Because you left her.
Yeah, you ran away. You ran away.
Yeah.
Though she snapped out of it.
She got over it after like a day.
About a day later.
But it was hilarious because she was like clearly
she was
very
like,
upset with
him. She was like, you ran away.
So like when he came back, she was just like, oh, this motherfucker.
Yeah. She was like, you just fucking gone.
Because Pookie's kind of a daddy's girl.
Because
you guys
very much.
Yeah, you guys wrestle all very the time. Very much, and you give her meat sticks.
She took that shit personally.
She did, She was very mad.
She's like, I don't know where you've been. You ran away. You were.
Tom's like talking to her. She like turned her back.
Yeah, turned her back to me.
Like I'm ignoring you. La la la. Yeah. She was like that. It was like it was hilarious.
Yeah,
it was hilarious.
She was definitely jealous.
She like and he came back and he was like unpacking yeah, all his stuff, and she comes in like sniffing all his stuff. Like,
where's this fucker been?
Where's this fucker been?
Yeah.
Were you hanging out with another kitty or a doggy or something?
She didn't smell another cat. Probably what she was thinking.
Yeah.
Was there another cat? Or something. But she was
she thought you were cheating on her.
Yeah, or something. I think it might be what it is. She's like, he went somewhere. What was he doing? She wanted to know what I was doing.
Yeah.
And you know, from her point of view, she's not really allowed to go anywhere.
Yeah. So why should
going you somewhere on? That's bad.
Yeah.
But I went somewhere, so I was bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was
crying. I tried to tell her, because she would, like, come up on the bed and be like, what's going on? Because she'd, like, walk around on Tom's side of the bed, and she'd be, like, looking at me, like, what the fuck is the deal?
Yeah, where is
like,
it? Yeah.
I'm like, he'll be back soon, he'll be back soon. And she's just like, she wasn't, like, buying it, I don't think. But then when you came back, it was, like, really funny. I didn't expect her to, like, react that way. I thought she'd be happy, but she wasn't.
No, she wouldn't have to see me at all.
No. She was just like,
motherfucker, where were you?
Yeah. She was like really mad. It was so funny.
You think
so
you just fucking leave? You just
it
leave.
Was so funny.
Yeah.
I just thought it was so funny. Like, it kind of broke my heart a little bit, but it was like super funny too, like, to see her react like that.
Yeah, you did something bad.
Yeah.
Fucking left, didn't come back for 3-4 days. Yeah. You were in trouble.
Yeah. She's like, I'm just like not even going to forgive that.
Trouble, mm-hmm.
Yeah. She didn't like it.
I could tell, yeah.
Yeah.
She's just glaring at me.
Yeah. She was giving him the foot. Yeah, she has like a really good stink eye.
Yeah, you can see her. Her facial expressions are they're human.
Yeah, she has very
hand raised her.
Yeah, she has very human facial expressions.
Yeah, I looked over one time. She was leaning up against the wall, looking at me like that, made eye contact. It was like I was looking at a little person.
Yeah,
she's like, I don't know. Don't you fuck with me?
So I just thought that was so funny. She was just so... Because I was like, oh my God, she's mad. Tom's like, she's mad at me.
Most cats don't hold eye contact. She will.
Yeah.
She'll look right at you. She'll look, try to look into your soul. Try to communicate. I want some treats. I want the meat sticks. And then you're going to give me that brush. Brush.
Yeah.
Brush my hair.
She tries to... Yeah. Well, she's trying to... telepathically communicate with you. Because she can't
talk.
Yeah, it's
like telepathy. Yeah.
So she'll like stare at you like really intensely.
Yeah.
Like, you can tell she's trying to, like, project her thoughts in your head.
Definitely.
It's, like, it's very funny.
Definitely, yeah.
Like, especially when she wants meat sticks, she'll come, like, to the side of the bed and she'll just, like, stare.
Yeah.
Like that. And she just looks at you for a really long time. Allison said, hey, I'm feeling sick from my vertigo. Oh, I'm sorry. So I'm not going to stay, but I wanted to pop in briefly to give my regards and condolences to Tom and his extended family.
Oh, okay.
And all
of
Tom's dad's friends, RIP. Yeah. Yeah, we were talking about that a lot earlier. You know.
Everything's okay. It all worked out.
Yeah. Tom's okay.
The uncertainty's gone. We knew he was going. He wanted to go.
Yeah.
It's when you're in that situation, if you kind of grieve or mourn over it, you're just being selfish. You're just mourning for yourself. All right.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, though.
Yeah, but the thing is who am I to tell him he's got to stay here? He lived 77 years with all his fucking problems, bad diabetes and shit. He was very lucky to make it to 77. A guy of his profile, the way he was, he should have died in probably late 60s, early 70s. So he had a lot of bonus time. The odds were very much against him. Just his dad only lived to late 40s.
Yeah, his dad died young.
Yeah. So, he did good.
Of heart failure.
Some kind of heart failure.
Yeah.
You know, that was in the 60s, or no, late 50s. They didn't know what he died of. They didn't do autopsies back then. He was watching fights on television, and he was fucking rooting on some fucking black dude fighting. And it's like, you can't get it. And then he called...
that's right, you punched that motherfucker.
He called Catherine, and he goes, hey, Catherine, that's his wife, and my grandmother, and he goes... Because, can you give me something to drink? I'm thirsty. And she's like, yeah, I'll give you something to drink. And he's watching, and she gave him something to drink, and he goes, fuck, it must have hurt my elbow. And she goes, you hurt your elbow? Yeah, I hit it on something. And he set the drink down, and then she went back into the, up the stairs and back into the kitchen, and because he was in a den that was actually kind of lower than the rest of the house. And she could hear him down there fucking yelling, get him, yeah, get him. Get him, that shit on one floor. That's right, you know.
I was like, you know they can't hear you.
Yeah,
right?
yeah, that's right. And then then she realized that she hadn't heard him in a while. And she was like, what happened? Did the guy lose the fight? You know what I mean? So she goes down there to go see, you know, what the deal was. And she, when she was coming downstairs, she saw him in front of the chair, you know, where he was sitting. Well, actually, he was standing in front of the chair. He wasn't sitting. She said, "You standing in front of that chair, fucking rooting a dude on fighting." I don't remember which boxer it was. My dad knew. And he was in front of that chair on the ground. And she goes, "What's wrong? What happened?" And she went over there and rolled him over, and he was already dead. She called.
I can't imagine.
911, yeah. And he was like late 40s. I think he was like 47. My dad was young, like 10, you know, like that.
I just can't imagine what that, I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because shit like that, because I remember you telling me that story before, and I was like, I'm trying to put myself in that situation if I went in the room and you were just like laying there dead. I was just like,
oh my God, wasn't fat or anything. He was, he was a slender guy, handsome, had children out of wedlock when high school and shit, and was knocking up girls, and
as one does,
yeah, and could tell all these stories. Ex-Navy guy, and he was only like 5'3", but he said he had arms like Popeye. He didn't work out, but he had big old fucking arms, and he was throwing. He owned a hobby shop, and he was one of his jobs. He had a hobby shop, and one of the hobby shops was to make wooden gliders. And he was like a champion glider builder and thrower. And he owned that hobby shop, and there was something about him throwing gliders with his hands. He was winning competitions for how far that glider would go. That was just some shit they did back in the '50s.
Yeah. Well, they didn't have video games or the internet or anything.
Yeah, so there was all kinds of little hobbies that they did.
Right. They didn't have good porn or anything.
No. He did all. He probably did, because he was also had a photography shop for a while. And oh, well, there rumor you go. Was is they took pictures and shit.
He probably had good
porn.
Good porn for the time. Because
a lot of people don't realize that fucking how high-tech photography was before back in the day. And one of the things that dudes that owned photography shops would do is that they would hire girls to come in and they would take nudes.
Yeah.
And they had these clubs where they would trade nudes.
Yeah, yeah.
And the way my granddad, the stories, I never met him, the stories of my granddad, he was probably in a club like that, taking pictures of girls and trading the pictures with other guys. That's how they, because porn was kind of not legal.
Yeah, so they would say stuff like, oh, she's like an artist model. Yeah.
Artist models.
So they'd have all these photographers come and like take pictures.
Yeah, take pictures, and then they would trade pictures with each other. And they were kind of like pinup art, but it was like nude, semi-nude, or whatever. Yeah. They would just hire models, and it was teenage girls, you know. I don't know if they were underage. Probably they didn't have real strict laws back then. It probably nowadays you got to be at least 18 to take a nude photo. Back in those days, it was probably legal to take nude photos of a girl if she was of the age of consent.
Or even if it wasn't, they probably wouldn't do anything to you.
Yeah, they probably didn't think there was anything out about that. So, you know, they didn't have those laws, didn't exist. That mentality didn't exist. So who knows? Chances are in that area, they were probably high school girls, probably. Seniors and shit.
Yeah, Tammy's talking about, it's like, the hub said the dogs are looking around the house for me, because she's not home, you know, she's doing her mom stuff. And whenever we're on the phone and they can hear me, they want to put, they wanted to put the phone down by them. Yeah, that's kind of the thing, too. It's like, and our cats wait by the door. Like, whenever we go out to the store or whatever, we come back and they're both sitting by the door, like, waiting for us to come back. She says we can watch the Lone Wolf and Cub TV series on YouTube on a channel called Ninja vs. Samurai. Okay, so we should watch that, actually. Right. That's probably really pretty good. They're talking about cat claws and stuff like that. I gotta pee again, so we'll talk some more about something. And
Jen's wearing an awesome outfit.
Yeah.
I had to get that shit on,
The pants and the boots are for Christmas presents.
Yeah, a bunch of Christmas presents I gave her. Yeah. And then you go ahead and give that a dry run if that's easy to fucking go to the bathroom in. Go to the club, she might have to go to the bathroom. Some of the shit we were trying to do, like with corsets and stuff, I got her a badass jumpsuit that was fucking skin tight pleather with these big boots that go up above the knee. It looked good, but the thing is, she wanted to have it look better with a corset over it, but she goes, but if I wear this, I won't be able to go to the bathroom. I was like, oh yeah. And she said it also kind of like smashed her boobs together. It didn't quite. I was like, man, fucking pull those zippers down. Let them bitches fly, you know. Decompress them, man. Let me see what kind of comments we got here. Yeah, Xander goes, that's nice pants. Yeah, they're like PVC pants. Called Ninja versus Samurai on YouTube. If you guys don't know what she's talking about, I got this Criterion Edition movie collection called Lone Wolf and Cub. It's Katsushin, or Shintaro Katsu's brother, stars in it. And I believe Shintaro Katsu is involved in the fucking production of this. And it's about an executioner. He's the shogun's main executioner. He ends up having to go on the... He ends up getting accused of treason. And he has... They pass a death sentence on him. And he and his little son, who's only about this big, dressed in his little fucking samurai kimono, they go on the run and become outlaws. And I think it's six movies. That's six movies.
I think so, yeah.
And they're real good.
Yeah, the movies are awesome.
Real good Japanese movies.
What's his son's name? Diagoro?
Yeah, Diagoro.
Yeah.
And that concept of Lone Wolf and Cub is where the concept of Mandalorian...
The Mandalorian, yeah.
And fucking, what's his name? Fucking Grogu.
Yeah.
Because Diagoro is basically like Grogu. He didn't talk either. He just uses facial expressions. He's a super cute little Japanese kid. Boy.
Yeah.
And he's in a... keeps him in a baby carriage. In a little stroller.
Yeah.
And he's wanted. And all these samurai and ninja and assassins that are all after him. And he cuts them all down. Diagoro helps, though, sometimes.
Yeah, he's badass, that kid.
Yeah, he helps, too, because the baby carriage is fucking... Has a bunch of traps in it. Blades that fly out if the kid hits. The fucking shit comes out of the wheels. And yeah, there's all kinds of crazy shit happens.
Kick that.
Yeah, he rigs the fucking... Now that collection of movies, the packaging of that Criterion Edition is fucking gorgeous. It looks like Japanese papyrus from like the...
Yeah. Criterion always does
Criterion,
a good job.
Yeah. I mean, and yeah. It comes with booklets, books inside of it, and photographs. It's just awesome quality. It takes a long time to get through all six movies. They're full-length movies. Yeah, a couple hours each. And they're very well made. They're also crazy. There's crazy parts of them. Not as crazy as a Chinese kung fu movie, but some weird shit happens in them. They even got female samurai or female ninjas attacking. Remember, was that tattooed? That girl that was all tattooed, was she a ninja or was she a samurai?
Been a while since I've seen her.
She had full body tattoos, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, it was a good one. They send all these different kind of people after. They send people after them with guns.
I mean, I like that they called one of the movies Baby Cart from Hell. Baby Cart from
Baby
Hell?
Cart
Baby
from
Cart
Hell.
To Hell?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Yeah. See what happens in movie one. Now, I don't remember fucking... What was Lone Wolf's fucking name? Shit.
I feel like I know this.
They kept telling him that, I think it was just his title was Samurai Executioner. Or yeah. Shogun's Executioner or something like that.
Yeah.
And he goes crazy after his wife gets killed and he kills a bunch of people and he has to go on the run. And he tells Diagoro, he says, you have to make a choice. I either kill you or you go with me on this journey through hell. And he puts something on the ground. He puts a sword on the ground and I think a ball.
Yeah.
And if he goes for the ball, he's going to kill the boy. If he goes for the sword, he's going to fucking choose. He's choosing to go on this fucking descent into hell. Which is, that's what the whole movies are about. They're descent into fucking insanity and hell. Well, the little boy fucking crawls out and fucking goes to the sword. Says, okay, you have chosen. You know? And that's
so
where
we're
the kind
of, this shit,
that's how, yeah, he goes, this is going to be a hard journey, you know. we're going to be a lot of suffering and shit, you know. He's telling him, you're going to have to strengthen your mind. And the little baby's going, huh, what, huh? Just like Groot, what?
Yeah, he's like, yeah. I don't even know.
Strengthen your mind. Kid. Yeah.
Yeah, Tammy said his name is Ito Ogami. That's right.
Ito Ogami was the name of the dad.
Yeah.
The dad, yeah.
Yeah, Diagoro was Ito, the kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that, but I didn't remember the dad's name.
If you like that, see the movies. Because I guarantee you it's...
Yeah, we should watch the TV show, though. It's probably, it might be
good. I don't... Is the TV show the same cast? Is it the same... Is it Shintaro Katsu's brother?
Maybe.
Does he play Ito?
I don't know. I guess we'll have to find out.
Yeah, and the little boy who plays Diagoro in the movies, he's fucking awesome.
I love that kid.
Yeah.
He's adorable.
Yeah, and I would say his acting is fantastic.
Yeah.
And he's not really acting. They just know how to edit right. The editing is fucking great because the kid's too young to act. They're just filming the kid. And he's just this quiet kid dressed up in this fucking badass little kimono with a little top knot.
Yeah, got cool ass hair.
Little cut top knot, yeah.
Killing.
And he's just chilled as shit. He's just chilled out as fuck.
Yeah.
We're going to have to go kill all these people, this and that, you know, blah, blah, blah. His dad's giving him the whole lowdown. And the little kid's just chill as fuck. He's like, yeah, okay. Let's go kill all these 300 people.
I mean, yeah. That's just what he knows, man.
Yeah.
It's not weird to him.
Well, they do the same thing with Grogu in Mandalorian.
Yeah, although Grogu has magic powers, so it's kind of
like he can wield the Force.
Right, sure. But you know what I mean. Dana said, I've been watching movies by the Russian director, Andrei Tarkovsky. Yeah, that's he's very famous. He only made 5 films. And 3 are rated 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. Highly recommend his film, Stalker. You know what? I never saw Stalker, although I did see a documentary about the movie Stalker. So I've been meaning to watch it for like a really long time, but I just haven't got around to it yet.
And Danny said he loved the 70s version of the Lone Wolf movies.
Yeah, we have all of them. We have the Criterion collection.
Now, they took all 6 movies and compressed them into one movie. It was called Shogun Assassin, and it is fucking insane. It does not represent the fucking series, but it is an insane movie. Real fun to watch. Because it doesn't make any goddamn sense. It's a great action flick, though.
Because they took, like, 6 movies and, like...
Yeah, just, like, smashed.
They're like, we're just going to take all the craziest scenes from each movie, and we're going to put them all in one movie without any context.
Yeah. It's called Shogun Assassin.
Yeah.
They played that here in the United States in the theater.
Yeah, Shogun I remember Assassin. Being at, like, drive-ins.
I remember being in California seeing the fucking trailer to Shogun Assassin.
Yeah, I kind of remember that, too. I was pretty little, but... Mm-hmm. Okay. Why am I yawning already? It's only 9 o'clock. Holy crap.
Oh, it's 9 o'clock, actually.
Yeah,
we're done at 9:30?
Yeah. Okay. We probably got to leave by 9:30, because,
They open the show at 9:15.
They open at 10.
When the show at 9:15.
Dana also said, nice pants, Jenny. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Go ahead and show them your outfit, Jenny.
Oh, I got to show them the outfit?
Okay. Yeah, here, I'll grab the damn... The handy cam, ready.
Handy cam.
Yeah.
Make sure I'm not all scrunched up.
Go ahead and fix your shit.
Go ahead and fix my shit. Hey, this belt, like, Tom made this.
I made that belt.
Yeah. I haven't been able to wear it for a while. I got to...
Yeah, and she's got this sexy-ass little bondage fucking cooch window. Turn around, let me see.
That's what Tom's calling it.
I call that the cooch window, and she got the little straps.
Boots, show the boots. I got those for Christmas,
too. Back up, I'm getting that light over there. There's buckles on the back of the boots.
Yeah.
Can't see enough. There, see the... And the boots go over the knee.
Yeah.
Come back here in the light. Yeah. The boots go over the knee.
Yeah, they're nice, man.
Yeah.
This is actually the first time we're wearing them out because we haven't really been out since Christmas.
Yeah, now turn around.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to get... Come here.
Oh.
Come here. I'm trying to get some good angles there.
Okay. He forgot what streaming service he was on for a second.
That should be worth a fucking super chat. Hold on, let me get this back in.
Oh,
what the hell? What the hell?
Now you've done it.
Why is it doing this?
Because.
Why is it doing it? Okay, hold on. I see what it's doing. I see it. There we go.
Everyone's getting.
There's
vertigo.
Ooh, shit.
Oh my god, dude.
Well, the
yeah.
The thing got me.
Calm down. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Everything fine? Everything fine. Okay. There we go.
What did it say?
I don't know. Well, I don't know. I only just sat down.
The original manga tells the whole story. Yeah. They say the manga's good. Matter of fact, I think the Criterion Edition, there's snippets of the manga. Is that the manga? That's what they're using is like some of the art in there.
I laughed because Oracle went, wee! Because of the camera going around like
there it goes. There comes Jeffy Art. Thank you, Jeffy. Yeah, I told you. I was out there trying to pass. Out there shaking
Tom's trying to pimp me out.
I'm trying to pass the fucking collection plate around.
Tom's pimping me out.
Yeah. Okay, the TV show is different. All right.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't mind seeing the TV show, though, too.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see it.
Yeah. Just like the TV show of Zatoichi. It's still got Shitaro Katsu in it. I don't think it was as good as the movies, but the movies do get kind of repetitive. I mean,
well, there's a lot. There's what, 26 like
80 of them? Or
no, there's like 26 of them.
26 of them?
There's 26 of them.
Yeah, some of them are better than others, and some of them are kind of repetitive, but I like the Zatoichi movies, too.
Yeah.
If you guys don't know what that is, it's about a Japanese, back in the Tokugawa, I believe it's Tokugawa period, or Edo. He's in the Edo period, I think. Which is like what, 1500s, 1600s, I think.
I can't remember.
It's about a blind guy who's a masseur, and he's not a beggar, but he's a masseur. He runs around, and he gives massages, but that's actually his cover. He's a yakuza sword fighter. He's a good guy. He's not trying to get in any trouble. And I don't remember exactly how he became a sword master. I didn't see the first movie. I think his dad had a school or something. He had a brother. He shows up a couple times too. But he has this sword and it's hidden inside of a cane. So it looks like a walking stick. But he can pull it out and it's totally straight. It's not a curved samurai sword. It's not a classic katana. It's straight. Even though some of the very early katanas were straight. This one is just like a thin, straight katana. They sell replicas of it. The Zatoichi fucking cane swords. Some of them things are fucking expensive. And they say some of them are actually battle ready. So the expensive ones. But he does all kinds of shit with it. He does everything. He's kind of like Daredevil. He does it by sound. And in the stories, he ends up doing shit like getting women out of prostitution because their fucking deadbeat husbands fucking got into debt and fucking dude sold her into the fucking whorehouse. And he tries to get her out of that. It's those kind of stories. Or you go, he makes his way into a town and some corrupt samurai fucking pick on him. And he's got to get even. Or he goes into there and a bunch of gamblers fucking steal his money. Or try to steal his money. And makes a bunch of fucking...
Yeah, he don't fuck with people. Don't fuck with him first.
Yeah, you got to fuck with him first. And
mess up your whole day.
And he's a real good character, Zatoichi. He's played by a guy named Katsu Shintaro. Or in English would be Shintaro Katsu. Because they do last name first. In Oriental languages, or Asian language, Eastern language. And although in Japan they call him Katsushin, which is kind of like saying Tom Cruise instead of Thomas Cruise, Katsushin. Now he was an interesting dude himself, getting in trouble for cocaine and shit, drugs. He accidentally killed a guy on fucking scene with a sword.
Well,
yeah, he got in trouble for that. It was his friend, though, it was an accident. Just. It was a real sword, and fucking that dude accidentally cut him. Some people said, well, he must have been drinking. I don't think he was, though. He was a great singer. Okay, he would do Frank Sinatra covers, and you can find him. A good song to listen to of Shintaro Katsu is one of Zatoichi's theme songs is called Darkness Is My Ally. And it's on YouTube. Just look up Darkness Is My Ally. Shintaro Katsu, and he does a fucking great job singing. He could sing, he could act, he could fucking pretty good with a sword, and he wrote a lot of the Zatoichi basic scripts, you know. Now, his brother, I think it might have been his younger brother, played Ito in Lone Wolf and Cub. And he was bigger. He was a bigger guy. And more imposing than Zatu Ichi. But still, just good dudes. They were making money on making samurai flicks, man. You know? Be like if Clint Eastwood had a brother. They'd be making fucking Western flicks, you know? Same shit.
High Desert said, I think that kid in real life, mm-hmm. the one that played Diagoro, mm-hmm. Got busted for murder.
All right. You know, if funny child stars get in trouble.
Well, I can see how that happens, yeah. because you don't really get to have a normal childhood. I don't yeah. know if that's, I mean, you know, that might not be the same in other cultures, but in this culture for sure.
Yeah.
It's very rare to have, like, a child star that ends up, like, okay and like well adjusted.
Yeah, weird shit happened.
Because all kind of bad shit. Well, like I said, a lot of that happened.
But I think in our case, the child stardom is happening in fucking Hollywood in the LA area, and that's already trouble. That's part of it.
Yeah, even adults. It's
yeah, so there's bad influences around them. And Hollywood is not a safe place for children. I'm only going to say it for that. I'm not going to talk about programs like MP4s or MP3s or PDF files. I'm not going to talk about the PDF files, but no, Hollywood isn't safe for children. I mean, and that those stories go way back to like, you know, fucking, what was his name? Tatum O'Neal and all that. Those,
well, it goes back to the earliest days of Hollywood.
The 20s
really.
And the 30s, yeah. They didn't care how old you were. If you wanted to be in those movies, you were going to have to fucking.
And the thing about it is
shit.
That it's bad now, but it's like, I think it might have been worse. Like
probably was
the,
worse.
Back
then.
In like the 20s and shit.
Yeah. Because no one would have believed it back then. People were more innocent, I think, and people were poorer, too.
Yeah. And there wasn't the same cultural discussion about it that
right,
we have
yeah.
nowadays. So it's like, if
yeah.
you just had that done to you, then you'd just be like, oh, well,
yeah.
I guess that's how shit goes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can pretty much, if you, any of those actresses or and actors, I believe, of the silver screen, shit went down with all of them, male or female. They had to get jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the oldest tricks was that some producer's trying to fucking raise money for this movie that he's going to make, and he's got all these investors and shit, and he takes the fucking stars to these parties where the investors are, and shit goes down there. If she puts out to this one investor, he'll put in the $30,000. You know, it's that kind of shit. Yeah, they're crooks. They're grifters. They're grifters. And they do it because, what are the alternatives? The alternatives are, you go back to the ghetto in L.A. They don't have any skills to speak of. They're not. It's easy to act. I can act. I was trained as an actor when I was a kid. It doesn't have anything to do with your talent. There are a lot of talented actors. You want those jobs, you're going to have to do some shit for it. That fucking black comic just came out with it. I think he's a comic. Came out, or maybe he's a rapper. Came out and just said, yeah, all these fucking rich dudes, or all these rich rappers, those dudes all sucked dick to get those jobs. He said he didn't want to suck dick.
Oracle said, I have a friend who is a child actor, and she said the problem is you're seen as valuable and special until you hit a certain age when you're no longer cute.
Yeah.
And
well,
then,
they don't know how cute you're going to be when you hit adulthood. You hit adulthood and you're fucking, you're not cute anymore. And they're like, well, you were a disappointment. But some of them do make it into adulthood. It depends on what they look like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She also said, check out some old, yeah, Shirley Temple movies.
Yeah, yeah.
You see
yeah.
that poor child getting groped by grown men. Yeah,
yeah,
and it wasn't, like, seen as weird. Everybody just thought it was cute. Like, there was, I remember seeing clips from, like, some Shirley Temple movies where, like, grown men are, like, talking about being in love with her and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm like, dude, this is problematic.
Yeah.
But they
yeah,
did
they
not.
Thought it was funny, but it
yeah.
wasn't funny.
It, that shit's not funny.
And it also, they say that commentators who know Hollywood real well are saying that they are filming her in the same way they filmed adult
yeah.
sex symbols.
Yeah.
With the same lenses and the same
yeah.
angles and that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff there. She was a cute little girl.
Oh, yeah.
They were making a lot of money off of her, and she was a good little actress. Man, that shit's not real appropriate.
It's, no.
But that inappropriate shit was in the other direction.
They didn't really think of it.
They thought it was funny.
Yeah, they just thought it was cute and
like,
funny. But I was like, that's not really funny.
In the Little Rascals, or Our Gang, you had all the little boys fucking hitting on Mrs. Crabtree.
Yeah.
Remember that? I love you, Miss Crabtree. And she's just laughing. Yeah, like, okay. I mean, that's funny when you look at it that way. All these little boys hitting on the school teacher, writing love letters.
But
they were doing it the other way around.
That's what I mean. And it's not quite the same because, like, right. The little boys are like, oh, they love their teacher, but she wasn't, like, reciprocating.
No.
She was just like, oh, whatever. Yeah, they're, like, little kids. She wasn't, you know, oh, okay, I'm going to go out with Spanky or whatever. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. That would be,
that would be
creepy.
Laughing it off.
Yeah. She was just, like I said. So had they done it the other way where she's like, I'm going to go out on a date with Buckwheat or whatever. That would have been problematic.
I think they thought that flipping the genders, I think they just thought that was funny and innocent.
Right.
Like, yeah, I'm going to date this little chick. Here, you're like a beautiful woman. And she's, yeah.
Yeah, because that's how they talk to her.
That's how they talk to
them. Like, in the movie. Like, in her movies, they talk to her like that.
They didn't take it serious. I think the average person thought it was a joke and didn't take it seriously.
Still, though.
But knowing Hollywood, no, I think they fucking... I think they probably knew what they were doing. This little chick is attractive, and maybe, you know,
we can
maybe we can mess around with her a little bit. It's kind of like what they were saying. Here, have a little bit of this.
That's what I mean.
Or they were implying that.
Yeah. Like I said, maybe a lot of people that weren't were watching it, like at the theater, maybe they didn't perceive it that way. Yeah, like they just thought it was cute or funny or whatever. But it's just kind of like nowadays that shit does not fly.
Yeah,
and it shouldn't. It shouldn't fly.
I'm not sure it flew back then in terms of like the people that were in Hollywood who knew what it meant. I think they actually.
I'm talking about like in the wider culture.
Yeah.
Like, because I think most people maybe, unless they were fucking perverts.
This whole
because they had perverts back then too.
People get very confused over this whole 18 thing. Federal law says you cannot take photographs of anyone, sexual photographs, or if they're nude and sexual. You can if it's like a nature program and you have fucking, you know what I mean, tribal people running around. If they're under 18, you can't take pictures of them. It wasn't always that way, though. A lot of things that have to do with the age of consent. And just because you can't take pictures of them doesn't mean you can't have sex with them. That falls on the state. Some states, the age of consent is 13. In Mississippi, it was. Now, I don't know if it still is. It's probably 16
now. I would doubt that.
Yeah, it's probably 16 now. But there's weird shit like you can marry him at 13 with the fucking parents' consent. But that's not happening. You know, that's like some shit from the fucking early 1900s, maybe. Probably that's when that shit stopped. And then there's some of the states have tried to mitigate it with what's called statutory laws, where age of consent might be 16, but you cannot do anything physical with her if you're like 6 years older or 8 years or 9 years older than she is. Only young guys can hit. It basically is what they're saying. But that depends on the state. So a lot of people get tied up in the 18. Oh, like, well, that teacher got busted. Well, it has to do with the fucking state. And most states say if you're a teacher, you cannot have anything to do.
Well, because that's an authority figure.
Yeah, you can't have anything to do with
it. Generally, in most cases, if someone has some kind of authority over you, whether it's your teacher, your boss, or whatever it is, that's going to be like a power dynamic, and that's going to introduce some complications.
Now, evidently, that does not apply to universities, though. That university professors can have sex with any student.
Well, because they're all older.
Mm-hmm.
So you just presume, they're all adults.
Yeah, right.
So it's not like...
Right.
I mean, people probably would... I don't know. I guess it would depend on the situation. People probably look askance at it, depending on the situation. But like I said, those are all adults, so that's a different situation. Tammy said... Shirley Temple said men were coming on to her in real life when she was very young.
Probably true, yeah.
And then,
I'd
imagine.
Yeah.
Because like I said, they've had PDF files forever. And Oracle said, yeah, she talked about using her dance training to escape getting groped.
Yeah. Well, guys were being primed for it by watching her movies. They're saying, well, I guess she is a sex symbol.
Yeah.
So she's available. And it's just kind of, they weren't in a society where there were limits.
Like I said, that's why it's a little irresponsible to be like portraying children like that.
A lot of the world's like that.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It's just Because some people are going to use that as, you know, justification.
In the Middle East, most of those countries do not have anything like laws like that at all. Because in Islam, one of the Prophet Muhammad's wife was like 8, I think. So therefore, if it's good enough for the Prophet, then it's good enough for you. So it's, I don't think there is anything like age of consent or being underage in any of those countries. I mean, somebody might drop it in the comment section, maybe if you're from one of those. If there were, it would be, if any country banned it, I would think it might be a country like Saudi Arabia, because Saudi Arabia is really starting to change certain things about the way that they do. I had to ask Saad about that. He lives there. But technically, I think as long as the families approve, I think you can marry anybody of any age if she's Muslim. Although a Muslim can marry a woman of any religion, just not the other way around. It have to consult a hadith over that, probably. I'll ask Saad what the rules are.
Yeah, Oracle said, Shirley Temple signed with MGM after leaving 20th Century Fox. Upon meeting with Arthur Freed from MGM for a preliminary interview, the producer exposed his genitals to her.
Okay, yeah.
And Tammy said, yeah, that's in her biography.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know. Dana said women have been allowed to drive in Saudi Arabia for almost 10 years now.
Yeah. They changed a bunch of stuff.
They did, yeah.
It's not quite as strict as it was.
Still, though. Yeah. That always, I don't know, it always, like, made me really, like, watching, because I've seen, like, some of Shirley Temple's movies and stuff like that, and, like, watching that makes me really uncomfortable. The same way that watching, like, nowadays, like, little kid beauty pageants, like the JonBenet Ramsey thing, that's super creepy, too.
Yeah.
Super fucking creepy.
Okay, it's about time.
Yeah, we gotta dip out, because we're gonna go out to Memento Mori this evening. Yeah. It's the 9th anniversary of Memento Mori tonight. So I'm glad that you came back.
Yeah.
And you could go, because if you had not been back, I wasn't going by myself. And it was funny, because I said that last night, and Tom's like, what, I trust you? I'm like, dude, it didn't have anything to do with that. I was just like, I didn't want to drive all that way at night by myself in case something happened to the car. I didn't want to, like, be out in the middle of nowhere and the car broke down or some shit like that, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that was the only thing. It's like, I wouldn't do anything behind your back. You know that.
Yeah.
But yeah. I said it's more of a safety issue. It's like, I don't want the car breaking down in, like, the middle of fucking Eustis someplace and getting murdered. You know what I'm saying? Because it's the middle of the night. So yeah. But we're, so we're going to go and have some fun with our friends. And hopefully everything will be cool. I'm looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we have a good crowd tonight for the 9th anniversary. But yeah, so we'll be back on Monday doing a movie review. Not sure what movie it's going to be, but we'll figure something out this weekend. So thanks, everybody, for dropping by tonight and hanging out with us on this Friday night. Thanks for Super Chats. And we'll see you guys again on Monday night. Good.